fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the December 1st edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to Malawian policeman Kadua Sande, who won an Innovation Award for Sports in 2017 for cleaning up a rundown public football pitch. Now Sande is building a public sports complex to keep youth healthy and help reduce crime. Lamech Messina reports from Machinga District, Malawi.
One could mistake Kadua Sande for a contractor hired to clear up the once dilapidated public football pitch in Machinga. But Sande is an officer at the Machinga Police Station and has a passion for sports. The 42-year-old sub-inspector, also an athletics coach, has volunteered to turn a once-for-second pitch into a sports complex with facilities like a track, netball court, and climbing walls for children. He says the aim is to develop sports and reduce crime such as rape and sexual assault, now rampant in his community.
As one of our responsibilities, police officers, is to also reduce crime, to prevent people from doing crime. So when one is idle, surely that person who indulge him or herself in other bad behaviors, like committing crimes.
Sande has been doing voluntary work since 2011, using savings from his monthly salary and working during his free time.
I don't spend my lunch hour, 1 hour, 30 minutes, eating only, no. So I also work at least maybe 50 minutes every day of my lunch hour is sacrificed for voluntary work.
Over the years, Sande ignored insults from people who didn't understand the motive behind his work, with some calling him crazy. He asked his wife to also ignore them.
Because I knew people would say so many things to my wife. Are you allowing this one to do this job? Are you married to this person, this mad person? So I said, don't tell me anything you hear from other people. That will derail me from doing this.
In 2017, his dedication to volunteer work earned him an Innovation Award for sports, which involved a month-long visit to China, where he learned how best to proceed with his initiative. Soon after, he purchased and began using machinery to fast-track his initiative. Government sports officials and community leaders sometimes visit the facility to express appreciation for the work he is doing. Charles Nandera is the village chief of the area Sande picked to build the sports complex. He says ours is an appeal to other well-wishers to help Sande in areas he can't do on his own, like constructing a fence around the ground so that all the sporting activities should be done inside the fence. The Ministry of Sports and the Machinga District Council will run the facility because it remains government property. Sande says the sports complex is now nearly complete and expected to officially open to the public at the end of December. Lamech Messina for VOA News, Machinga, Malawi.
Thanks, Lamech. The Nigerian Wahid Ashodi was recently elected a vice president of the International Table Tennis Federation. Ashodi and seven other vice presidents will serve under the Swede Petra Sorling, who was elected the ITTF president unopposed. Ashodi is also the deputy president of the African Table Tennis Federation. He tells Iron Mike Mbonye he was delighted with the election results.
A lot of happiness. A lot of people had worked hard, you know, prompting me to run and then working hard to ensure that we got our vision across to other member associations all over the world. And, you know, the results, when the results came in, it was pure joy. You know, we hoped to do well, but then the kind of numbers that we pulled really, really showed that there was widespread acceptance for my candidature. So I think that was very pleasing. It was very good.
What does this victory or election mean for Africa?
You know, when you couple the victory along with that of Professor Meshre from Egypt, it means that we have two Africans on the executive committee, and that can only portend for good things for Africa. We can put our case forward. It makes it easier to put our case forward. It makes it easier to seek for resources to help us develop in Africa. And, you know, generally, it is the voice. It is a big voice on that stage for our continent. But apart from that, it is a big voice. So it gives us a chance to contribute to the development of table tennis around the world. Currently, table tennis is, you know, emerging from its shell, so to speak. We are one of the biggest sports in the world, 227 member associations. There is still a lot more we can do to grow the sport. But, you know, when you put it into consideration that this sport is one that is played by probably everybody around the world, there is still a lot we can do to make sure that the sport is accessible to everybody. And then, importantly, that those who are most talented, especially on our continent where, you know, funding is an issue, we can then find ways to help them. The ITTF has a lot of resources. And I suppose this gives us the knowledge to know where to ask for help, more like. But, you know, with the talent we have on the continent now, especially, this is cuts across most countries now, not just Nigeria, Egypt, Algeria, you know, the old forces. It would, you know, be a disservice if we didn't take this chance now to see how we can help develop these talented players into, you know, to becoming stars of the game.
Your tenure as Vice President, International Table Tennis Federation, is 7 years. Do you have plans to attract more tournaments in Nigeria and Africa?
Well, I mean, during our tenure, this, you know, we've, for example, Lagos has become a hub for international table tennis. Top-class table tennis is synonymous now with Lagos. And for that, you know, we're grateful to the government in the city of Lagos. His Excellency, the governor, has been supportive over the years. And we expect that with this position that one has attained now, then it might just open, like I said, open the door to more resources to help develop the game. Yes, we hope to attract more events to Nigeria, not just tournaments, in terms of training programs, academy programs and things like that, that would help develop the younger players, especially our female players. Right now we have currently the best crop of junior players, probably definitely in Africa, but probably one of the best in the world. And we're hoping that, you know, they play in the World Juniors next week, and we hope they'll do well. But especially for the female players now, this is the time. We're playing catch-up with Egypt and Algeria right now. We need to develop new players. Our top players, Funke Oshunaike, Ofeong Edem, they've been around for 20 years. They've done very well for Nigeria, but it is time to seriously look at bringing the younger ones too. So we hope that, again, you know, what this position does is at least it helps you open doors. It gives you the knowledge of where to go and how to go about things. And hopefully we will be able to double up on what we've been doing in the past. The Federation, the President, Engineer Tikon, somebody who is always looking to see how he can develop his players. So we'll be there to support them. But it's not only Nigeria now. This is for Africa. This is for the world. The better that we do at the ITTF, the better every member association does. So hopefully, yes, it's exciting times. I think we feel this will help in bringing more to the game in Africa.
That's Wahid Ashodi, Vice President of the International Table Tennis Federation. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from the U.S. city of Houston, Texas, the venue for the recent World Table Tennis Championships.
You're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In African football news, Tunisia topped Mauritania Tuesday 5-1 in the opening match of the FIFA Arab Cup tournament in Qatar. Sefadine Jaziri and Ben Larbi each scored 2 goals for the Carthage Eagles of Tunisia, while Youssef Msakni scored the team's 5th goal late in the match. Moulaye Bessem scored Mauritania's goal. This 10th edition of the Arab Cup is the first under FIFA's jurisdiction, And it's billed as a prelude to the 2022 FIFA World Cup in Qatar, the first World Cup to be held in the Middle East. 16 teams are taking part in the Arab Cup, including Morocco, Egypt, Sudan, and reigning African champion Algeria. In Tuesday's other results, host Qatar beat Bahrain 1-0 on a second-half goal from Abdulaziz Hatem. Iraq and Oman drew 1-1, and the United Arab Emirates defeated Syria 2-1. Group play will continue through December 7th. The Arab Cup final is scheduled for December 18th at the Al Bayt Stadium in Alkor, Qatar. Nick Mwendwa, the embattled president of the Football Kenya Federation, has resigned after being charged with multiple counts of fraud. In a letter to FKF's National Executive Committee members, Mwendwa said he's asked Vice President Doris Petra to assume all functions of the FKF president. On Monday, Nick Mwendwa pleaded not guilty to four counts of fraud at an anti-corruption court in Nairobi after being rearrested by police last Friday.
Hello, listeners. My name is Juma Miro, the Commonwealth Games bronze medalist in Australia 2018. Listen to Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
In African boxing, twin brothers in Uganda are doing what they love best, training young fighters to hopefully be future champions. In this encore Sunny Side of Sports presentation, Magume Davis Rakawinge in Kampala tells us more.
It is a good thing to be coached by an experienced coach, but it's even much better to be trained by two experienced boxing twin brothers, says Ugandan boxer John Katongole. The two twins train Katongole simultaneously at a local gym here in Kampala. Hussein Khalil, the 1982 Commonwealth gold medalist, dominated boxing in Uganda before changing alliance to Kenya and later joined paid ranks both in the United States and Europe. Khalil vividly remembers his journey and says not even the political instabilities at the time would hamper him to pursue his dream of becoming a boxing legend in East Africa.
I was a Ugandan champion in 1980. I became a light flight champion. By then, our president, he said he has banned all the sports for about a year. Yeah, there was the sports, this boxing could not go on until we get everything organized. Then the Kenyans say, no, why don't you come and join us? I joined a club called Kenya Breweries. I got there, and then I became, they are preparing for the Olympics in 1980, which was going to take place in Moscow, USSR. But unfortunately, Kenya had boycotted the Olympics. Then we had a tournament called the Kenya Golden Cup, the countries which boycotted the Olympics.
The tournament, that was in part sponsored by the great boxing legend Muhammad Ali, attracted hundreds of boxers from over 40 countries across the globe. Khalil won bronze and says that was the start to even more success locally and internationally for the years that followed.
Participated in the big tournaments like African Championship 3 times. I got two times. I boxed and I got gold medals in lightweight. I got two gold medals in 1980, 83 and 84. Then I went for the Commonwealth Games 1983. It was in Brisbane, Australia, where I got a gold medal in lightweight.
His success influenced his number one fan, his twin brother, Hassan Khalil, who was then a footballer.
That time I switched from football to boxing because it is individual sports. I switched to the boxing. If you push yourself, you can be a champion. I have about 174 fights since I started boxing. I had 174 fights. I lost only 4 fights. I won only 170 fights. And I pushed myself.
Along the way, the Khalil brothers say they learned different tactics that they decided to come and impact in the young generation when they retired from boxing in 1993.
1994, that's the time we started.
with very few boys. All the boys came and said, okay, we started. Let's try and see and produce some good boys. We were lucky in the final, in the national championship, we took about three boys. Two of them got to the finals and one became a Ugandan champion. That was Michael Obin.
They started East Coast Boxing Gym located in Naguru, a Kampala suburb, that has since produced hundreds of boxers, many of who have won both national and international fights. Budding fighter John Katongole says he's assured he'll win medals because of the skills he gets from the two coaches.
When you move with champions, you become a champion mentally, physically, emotionally. Yeah, my coach is a Commonwealth medalist. My coach has a good record in amateur, and also he has produced a lot of champions. I am the national fly champion 2019, and it's because of East Coast Boxing Club.
The Hariri boxing coaches pride in what they do and say as twins, it is easy to motivate boxers.
Whenever I see a boxer, I tell him, you champ. They feel proud. They feel well and good, and then it encourages them. He train him how to attack, but me, I train him how to defend himself.
The two twins say Uganda has many talented boxers. They believe one day the boxing club will produce boxers to dominate boxing nationally and internationally. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Mugume, Davis Rwakarinji in Kampala, Uganda.
Hello, listeners. This is Hussein Khalil from Uganda. I'm a gold medalist in Commonwealth Games 1982 in Brisbane, Australia. Listen to the Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
This is Heather Maxwell, host of Music Time in Africa. Join me every Saturday and Sunday for an hour of awesome African music. Wake up, dance this music. Like to stay on top of new music trends, breakout artists, new releases? Maybe you just love the classic styles and artists of the past. Or simply the sound and feel of a good beat. Whatever your pleasure, you can get it every week right here on Music Time in Africa. So join me on your local FM station, Saturdays and Sundays at 1500 and 2000 UTC.
Thanks, Heather. And here's a fun VOA fact for our Voice of America listeners. Music Time in Africa was founded 56 years ago in 1965 by the late, great Leo the Music Man Sarkeesian. And it's the VOA's longest-running English-language program. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Voice of America!
Let's give a Sunny Side of Sports salute to the Phoenix Suns, the hottest team in the National Basketball Association. The Suns beat the visiting Golden State Warriors Tuesday night 104-96 to tie a club record with their 17th victory in a row. The AP's George Tanner reports from the western U.S. city of Phoenix, Arizona.
The Suns picked up their 17th consecutive win with a 104-96 victory over the Warriors. DeAndre Ayton led the way with 24 points and 11 rebounds.
I think we've been in situations where, a guy go down, somebody's stepping up. That's just our team. We play as a team, and somebody always wants to step up if somebody goes down.
Chris Paul, 15 points and 11 assists.
We prepare for every game the same way. And when you do that, it's about building habits. And like I said, third team that I've been on, won 17 in a row. And it's a really good feeling. So, to go the whole month without any losses, regardless who was on the schedule, that's tough to do.
The Suns' record is now 18-3. They played without Devin Booker, who left the game in the second quarter with a hamstring injury. Jordan Poole led the Warriors with 28 points. They had 22 turnovers. George Tanner, Phoenix.
Thanks, George. The Suns made it to the NBA Finals in July before losing to the Milwaukee Bucks. The Suns will play the Warriors again on Friday night in San Francisco, California. In New York, the city's two NBA teams, the Knicks and the Nets, played a very competitive game Tuesday night, with the Nets prevailing by 2 points. The AP's Tom Merriam reports from New York.
The Brooklyn Nets won an intense intra-city rivalry game from the New York Knicks, 112-110 at the Barclays Center. James Johnson's two free throws with 2.2 seconds remaining snapped the 110-110 tie to propel the Nets to their 13th win in their last 16 games. James Harden scored 34 points, 28 in the first half to lead Brooklyn.
Tonight, we're just happy to come away with the win. We did things necessary down the stretch to come up with the win on the defensive end.
Kevin Durant picked up for Harden in the second half, scoring 21 of his 27 points, including 11 in the final 6 minutes of play.
I got to, figure stuff out as the game goes on and kind of learn on the fly. And I thought the fourth quarter shots went down. I caught it in my spots and was able to knock some shots in. But, yeah, I'm always trying to figure out how I'm going to be aggressive out there.
Tom Merriam, New York.
Sporty greetings. This is Masai Ujiri, the president of Toronto Raptors Basketball, president of Giants of Africa Foundation. You are listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America.
Masai Ujiri's Toronto Raptors have been struggling lately. The Raptors have lost 3 games in a row and 7 of their last 10. Playing at home Tuesday night in Toronto, Canada, the Raptors had their wings clipped by the Memphis Grizzlies, as we hear now from the AP's Dave Ferry.
Jaren Jackson Jr. scored 25 points, and Desmond Bain had 23 as the Grizzlies dumped the Raptors 98-91. Bain made 5 three-pointers, and Jackson had 4 for the Grizzlies, who never trailed and led by as many as 17 points in their second straight win without star Ja Morant. Jackson says the Grizzlies are holding their own without Morant.
He was responsible for a huge part of our offense, passing, and when he's scoring, he does a lot. So you can't force it, but you just got to be able to, go out there and fill those gaps where he might have done something else.
Pascal Siakam scored 20 points. Scotty Barnes had 19, and Fred VanVleet 15 in Toronto's third consecutive loss. I'm Dave Ferry.
Thanks, Dave. And two more NBA results Tuesday night. The Portland Trail Blazers beat the visiting Detroit Pistons 110-92, and the Los Angeles Lakers scored a 117-92 road victory against the Sacramento Kings. Now, the Lakers played without superstar LeBron James, who was sent home earlier in the day after he was placed in the NBA's health and safety protocol. LeBron said earlier in the season that he has received the coronavirus vaccine. If LeBron James tested positive for COVID-19, he's expected to miss multiple games.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The Voice of America's Global News Program, International Edition, brings you an in-depth look at the biggest news stories of the day. Nobody covers the world more comprehensively than VOA. Our correspondents gather the news and the views of the most seasoned experts on international issues. Tune in Monday through Friday at 3:30 and 17:05 UTC on The Voice of America.
I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. I encourage our Sunny Side of Sports listeners to follow me on Facebook and Twitter. My Facebook address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. And my Twitter handle is at VOA Sunny Sports. If you go to my Facebook page today, Wednesday, you'll see a photo of Malawian policeman Kadua Sande, who Lamech Messina told us about at the top of the show. In women's football, England routed Latvia Tuesday 20-0. Yes, you heard me right. 20-0 in a Women's World Cup qualifying match. VOA's Gwen Uten has reaction from England's manager, as well as striker Ellen White, who broke the team's scoring record. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. The England women's national football team achieved their biggest ever competitive victory in Tuesday's World Cup qualifier. 10 different England players netted goals in their 20-0 victory against Latvia. Among them, 4 players scored hat tricks, including Manchester City striker Ellen White, who went on to break the Lionesses' all-time scoring record. White now has 48 goals in 101 appearances for England. And afterwards, she told reporters she could not have made history without the help of her teammates.
Feels very nice. Yeah, obviously, I don't know if you could see it, but yeah, it was very emotional on the pitch. I feel very proud to represent my country, to score goals. But I think for me, it was all about the team tonight. I don't know if you could see in my face as well, when Alessia scored, when Lauren scored, when Jess scored. You know, we've got some incredibly talented players coming through. So, yeah, I feel very lucky to be surrounded by them. But, yeah, I feel very proud.
Tuesday was also a historic night for the team. The Lionesses broke a previous win record set in 2005 when they defeated Hungary 13-0. And following their 20-0 victory over Latvia, England women's team manager Serena Wiegman said, "Scoring goals is the name of the game."
Football is about scoring goals and about winning. And whoever is in front of you, you want to score goals. And so if we can score 20, we're going to score 20. If we can score 25, we'll score 25. I do think it's not good for the development of the game, but that's what the game is about, scoring goals.
However, England's domination on the pitch has called into question disparities in competitive matches on the international stage. England is currently ranked 8th in the world, while Latvia is ranked at 102. And Wiegman called for fixtures to be more balanced in order for lower-ranked teams to develop.
Well, I think we have to look at it. I said that before. Of course, you want competitive games, and these are not competitive games. And we want to develop, you know, the well-developed countries already and the countries that are not that far. So in every country, you want to develop the women's game. But I don't think it's good that the scores now, they're so high. And I know that has the attention of the federations and UEFA and FIFA. And I think that's good, because I don't think a 20-0 is good for the development of anyone.
England's prowess on the pitch has placed them at the top of Group D with a maximum 18 points. The Lionesses have now scored 53 goals in the World Cup qualifying campaign without conceding. Meanwhile, Latvia have conceded 46 goals and scored twice in their 5 matches to put them at the bottom of the group. The upcoming FIFA Women's World Cup will be hosted by Australia and New Zealand and is set to begin in July 2023. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And that wraps up the December 1st edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.